Last of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 7, Matthew 7, 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Well, last week I planned on finishing the Sermon on the Mount, and I've been thinking all day that last point that I had just didn't really go together with the other two, and I thought, well, I might just cut that out, and I couldn't decide, and then I got pretty close to that last point, and the power went out last Wednesday, and we was in total darkness, so we'll preach this last point this week, where Jesus, after he had ended this Sermon on the Mount, this preaching, we get a reaction. So Jesus gets done, and if it was a movie, the camera would pan over to the crowd, and everybody would just be standing there speechless. Their jaws would be dropped open. They just couldn't grasp what they just heard. It was astonishing. It was amazing. And whenever you think of the best preachers of the Bible, who do you think of as the best preachers? You might think of Paul, Stephen, Peter, Philip, Apollos, John the Baptist. Those names might come to mind, but really Jesus is the greatest preacher who has ever lived. As we've gone through this sermon, it's been very profitable for me to go through and hear what Jesus has had to say, to listen to these words of our Savior, because there has never been a preacher like Jesus. And whenever he got done with his sermon, people were astonished at what they had heard, because he spoke with authority, he had spoke truth, and he had spoke in a way that they just weren't used to hearing or had never heard before even. They were just blown away by it. This message had just left them dumbfounded at the truth. And that's really what it was. It wasn't that Jesus had to cast a spell over them with his oratory skills, or it wasn't that he had drawn them in with his preaching style, but what he said, the authority which with he spoke, had so captivated them and astonished them with that doctrine. They'd never heard anything like it. And if you think about all the things that Jesus draws out here, whether it's the condition of man, how to be saved, the way of salvation, the revelation of the law itself, it is astonishing. The illustrations that Jesus used, and not just here in this sermon, but throughout the Gospels, when you hear Jesus preach, you read that the metaphors and the parables and the examples and the way that he would explain things and the way that he would draw people out. And he wouldn't set traps for them, but they would set traps for him, and he would just answer in a way to which, in just a very short sentence or so, would just confound them. They couldn't trap him up. Everything that he said was spot on. Every example that he provided was right on the money. His teaching, everything he taught, was theologically accurate. Jesus is the greatest preacher that's ever lived. He is the Lord's prophet. The Messiah was the Lord's prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is the Lord's prophet, and all the prophets of the Old Testament pale in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the preachers of the New Testament times pale in comparison to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, what I want to do before we think about Jesus' preaching, I just want to think about preaching in general and what preaching is and its purpose and so forth. And then, just real quick, look at the preaching of Paul as an example of some of the things that he has said in his preaching. And then we'll finish up with the preaching of Jesus. Well, what is preaching? The word preach that you find in the Bible means, it comes from a word that means to herald, like a public crier. So if you think of the movies and you have somebody come into town with a bell or something, hear ye, hear ye. You know, he's got a message to read and he draws attention to everybody. That's what the word meant. A public crier, somebody who would go out and have an announcement to make from a higher authority. So to preach is to do that. Thayer says that the word always suggests gravity and authority, which must be listened to and obeyed. So it's not somebody just standing up talking, drawing a crowd. It's somebody that has come to deliver a message that has some weight behind it. And it's the idea of an open, public, authoritative proclamation. I've had people say that, you know, the time for preaching is over in our day and time. We need more dialogue and more conversation and more back and forth. Well, the Bible declares to us that in the house of the Lord, we are to preach the Word, not to dialogue back and forth. There's nothing wrong with conversations. There's nothing wrong with talking to people and going back and forth in that way. But in the public worship of our God, He has preaching, declarative, thus saith the Lord, of the Scripture, these truths of Scripture, that we have to go forth and declare. There's no back and forth with God's Word in that regard. It is to be declared openly and authoritatively. What makes good preaching? Well, if you ask a lot of people what makes a good preaching, they might, all of them, have something to say about style or delivery, how the message is delivered. Well, everybody has their own preferences about what kind of style they like, but it's interesting to see that you don't see much about that in the Bible. Paul said that he made some references that people thought his speech was contemptible, that some people thought that he was terrible. Of course, he goes into another town and they compared him to a false god of oratory, so I guess it just depends on the opinion. Some people thought he was terrible. Some people thought he was great. Moses wasn't much of a speaker. So it doesn't say there's a particular style that one must do in order to preach well. The thing that the Bible stresses, though, is what is said. The things that are said is what the stress is. The truth of the matter is, well, everybody has their preferences. I read a story of a Puritan preacher who was interrupted in the middle of a sermon right before he died. And somebody stood up and said, "Lift up your voice, I can't hear you." And then he stopped and said, "Lift up your ears, I can't speak any louder." And so he was saying, "No, I'm doing the best I can. If you can't hear, move up front." I knew somebody like that was practically deaf. They couldn't hear a word you were saying, and they sat at the very back of the church and would always complain that they couldn't hear, and they wanted to buy speakers and everything in the church so they could hear, and instead of just scooting up a few rows so they could hear. And they wanted everything bent to around them. Everybody has different opinions of what kind of a preacher they like to hear, but it's not the delivery that makes good preaching. It has to do with the content, what's being said. So if preaching is a declarative act, if it is a herald bringing a message, the herald ought to do everything that he can to make sure people can hear him. But the important thing is the message. That's the main thing. I heard a man preach one time and thought, man, that was a great sermon. One of the top sermons I've heard in a long time. It was really good. And so I got a recording of it, and I went back and listened to it a little bit later on. And as I was listening to it, I thought, well, why did I think this was good? Because what he said was true, but then I noticed after I listened to it, the guy didn't read the Bible verse the whole time. He stood up and announced his text, and he never read it. He never talked about it. But he had a really good delivery. He told a lot of good stories and had a lot of good illustrations and said a lot of true things. What he said wasn't necessarily wrong. He just didn't preach the Bible. The Bible was completely out of his message. And I thought about that, how you could be influenced by just the speech and not even really dig into what was being said. So we need to go by what the Bible says. So the Bible gives us standards for what makes good preaching. Paul tells us what needs to be preached. It's the Word of God. He gets to preach the Word. The preacher has no authority apart from the Word of God. In my opinions, they could be right, they could be wrong. My theories might be good, they might be bad. But as a herald, the only time I say anything that carries any weight is if I'm bringing the message from the King. I can give you my thoughts and my ideas, but my thoughts and ideas aren't any better than your thoughts and ideas. They might not carry any more weight, is what I'm trying to say. But if I have a message from the King, as a herald, I can say, "Thus saith the Lord." And that brings with it all the power and the authority of God. And that's what a preacher is. He's just basically a herald. He's saying, "This is what God says. This is what God says you must do. This is what God says you must not do. This is what God says about sin. This is what God says about service." So that's what a preacher is. He's saying, "God is telling you this." So the herald comes and declares the message of the guy that hires him or puts him and commissions him to the work. So imagine you got an old village and a poor and unlearned man was taken by the king. The town that he lived in was under siege and had been for quite some time. They were running low on supplies. They were running low on weapons. They were running low on soldiers to keep guard. And just any day now, the city's going to be taken under siege. Well, this beggar was taken by the king and said, I need you to go to this town and deliver this message for me that supplies are going to be on the way, that relief will come soon. Well, this beggar comes in. And he said, stands up and holds out the scroll, and everybody can see that it had the signet of the king on there. And he says, "I have a message from the king." Now the town folks they'll gather around, and they'll listen, and they'll hang on every word that he says and listen very carefully to what this man says. Not because this unlearned beggar has anything important of himself. Not that he was eloquent in his speech, but he is delivering a message from their king that is applicable to their dire situation. So that's what he's doing. He's saying, "This is what the king says, and I've been sent by the king to give you this message." They were hanging on his words because not of the man, but because of what the message was. So that's all good preaching is. It's relaying the message of the king. It's delivering the Word of God. It's preaching the truth of the Word of God. So in 2 Timothy 4:2, listen to what the Apostle says here about preaching, or he tells Timothy to do. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Word. That's it right there. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. It's not a good sermon if it's not the Word of God. If you're not preaching the Word, it might be a good theory, it might be a good illustration, it might be a good story, it might be entertaining, it might go by quickly because you enjoyed every moment of it. But it's not biblical preaching. Paul says, preach the Word. What does the Word say? What does God say? So that was the charge to Timothy, and that's what makes a good sermon. Are you preaching the Word? And not just the Word, we want to know what the Scriptures say. Even if I open the Bible and read every passage, if I take it out of context, that's not helping anybody. That's not good preaching if I'm telling you God says this, and that's not really what He says. If I say, God says, go this direction, but really He says, go that direction. Have I helped you by, even if I've read the Bible, if I've taken it out of context and point you in the wrong direction, does that make a good, faithful herald? Well, no, of course not. If the herald comes into town and rolls out the scroll and he thinks, well, I don't like that first paragraph, I'm going to edit it a little bit. And that second paragraph's too hard. I'm going to soften it up a little bit. And if I read this third paragraph, everybody's going to get mad at me. And they're not going to like me. So where the king says supplies are not coming for another week, well, if I say that, they're going to get mad. So I'll change it. Supplies will be here tomorrow. All right. So he's going to change all the message. Now he'll read bits and pieces of the scroll, but he doesn't read the whole thing, and he doesn't read it in context, and he doesn't explain what the king actually means. That's not a good herald, is it? That's a terrible herald. That's somebody who's doing works. Well, Paul says, preach the words. Explain what God says. Now you can preach one message and one verse of scripture, or you can preach a message and have a scripture to read every minute. As long as the word is handled rightly and faithfully, then that makes a good sermon. Back in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the preacher is to study. He is to be a workman. His work is in the word of God. His tools are his books is the word of God. And he is to dig in and to study and to see what God says, to show himself approved of God, to show himself that he knows what God has said. And he is able to rightly divide that word of truth. The Greek word translated rightly divide means to cut it straight. It means to hold a straight course. So if you were going to cut a path through the woods and you want it to be straight, you want it to go the shortest distance. You don't want to go left and right and up and down and take a path that should be a half a mile and turn it into a 2 mile path going back and forth. You want it to be straight. You want it to be, you don't want it to curve unnecessarily. That's the idea of this word. You want to cut it straight. You want to make it right. You want to divide it what it's exactly how it says. You want to stick to what God has said. So God wrote this whole book. This is all God's inspired word. And he didn't contradict himself. God is eternal, and he's unchanging. So he didn't change his mind from Abraham to Paul. He didn't learn more and come up with a different scheme. So the whole word is going to... it's not going to contradict. So to rightly divide the word, to cut it straight, would be to preach in a way that is true to what God actually meant. That does not contradict itself. That is sticking to the truth. Faithful preaching will give you the meaning of the text of Scripture. Faithful preaching will give you the intended purpose of that Scripture. It'll be faithful and true to what God actually says. Not just being inventive and ingenious about what you can twist out of it, but you want to know what God actually said. And that's what Paul instructs Timothy to do. Preach the word, declare what God has said, rightly divide it, scripture with scripture, in context, knowing exactly what God has to say. You preach to the people. Now, there's a popular movement where the preacher doesn't give any application to the scripture whatsoever, that you just go through and say, well, this is what this word means, and that's what that word means, and just go through and explain it, but not to put any type of application on it. Well, that's what Paul said when the first scripture I read: reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You have to preach the word, but you have to apply it. You have to take, this is what God says, this is what God means, and this is what God wants us to do with that. And this is how you would see this truth and apply it to your life. So a message like this, you say, well, how can I apply a message? I'm never going to preach. No, you're not going to preach, but you're going to listen. You're going to hear lots of preaching. How do you judge if somebody's a good preacher or not? Well, you go to the Word of God and see what Paul told Timothy. You see how Jesus preached. You see how Paul preached. And then you say, well, are they preaching like that? Are they preaching the truth? Are they explaining the Word of God? Are they rightly dividing the Word of God? Are they applying the Word of God rightly? So you can apply that and say, well, this is how I need to listen to hear if I'm hearing biblical preaching. How did Paul preach? Paul told Timothy a lot about it, but Paul was a man of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we learn a little bit about Paul's preaching. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. It says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So if you're going to preach like Paul preached, you're not going to preach about yourselves. I'm not going to preach about myself. Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So Paul preached not for himself, and he didn't preach for his own profit and gain. He preached for Jesus' sake. He didn't preach for himself. He didn't preach about himself, but he preached for Jesus. In verse number 2, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of the Lord." So he didn't preach himself. He didn't preach for gain. He didn't preach his own philosophy and theories. See, if I preach myself, I've abandoned Scripture because I'm not in the Bible. If I preach for my glory, I've abandoned the Bible because the Bible is to glorify Christ. To preach self is dishonest, it's sneaky, it's subtle. It's like a salesman, a car salesman that's just trying to get one over on you. If you're preaching anything but the truth of the Word of God, and the truth of the Word of God will glorify God and point to Christ, then you're nothing but a snake oil salesman. It's dishonesty. It's not biblical preaching to come and lift oneself up. You're preaching line upon line. You're preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." Paul says in chapter 2, in verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, we speak Christ." He didn't corrupt the word of God. He didn't handle it deceitfully. He wasn't a liar. He didn't preach contrary to what God's word declares. He didn't say, "If I preach this, people will get mad, so I better not preach it." Or he didn't say, "I'm going to stress this point here because this point will do me good. I'm going to stress this point about them, the people doing this or that, because that's what I want them to do." That's handling it deceitfully. But Paul preached Christ. And he preached, this is what Christ, who Christ is, this is what Christ has said, this is the way of salvation, this is the way that a servant of Christ will act and do. He didn't intentionally insert his opinion in it or overlook passages that would offend. He didn't tamper with what the Word of God. Back in chapter 4, in verse 6, he says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." We don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus. We are not the light, but we're the light of Christ. We shine the light that is Christ has put in our heart. Just as when God said, "Let there be light," there was supernatural darkness. There was darkness everywhere. But God spoke and light came into existence. This truth is God shining His light that we may declare the glory of Christ in this dark world. It doesn't glory us. Paul said that we have this treasure of the Word of God in earthen vessels, or vessels made of earth, clay jars, clay pots. That's what we are. We have the diamond of the Word of God, the glories of Christ in an old clay pot. And if there was a diamond laying in a clay vessel, an earthen vessel, you're not going to go up and look past the diamond and examine the clay. You're going to see that diamond in contrast to that old clay. And this is the example Paul uses. We don't glory ourselves. We're just vessels. We just carry the message. We're just an old bucket that is carrying the treasure of the Word of God. Matthew Henry said, God so ordered that the weaker the vessel or the stronger his power may appear to be, that the treasure itself should be valued all the more. That's why God didn't send angels to come and preach to us, but the men, frail and weak men, to declare His message that God would get all the glory. There's no power in self. We don't preach self because there's no light in self and no power in self and there's no way in self. We preach Christ Jesus. And that brings us to the third thing. We're going to preach like Jesus. So we've seen what preaching is. It's a declarative herald announcing the truth of the Word of God. Paul says we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach our own theories. We don't preach for deceitful gain. We preach that God may be glorified, that Christ may be lifted up. He is the purpose of our preaching. Well, how did Jesus preach? Well, we've seen how He preached in the Sermon on the Mount. But the first thing you notice about Jesus, and it's right there, but you know, I'd never really thought about it this way. But Jesus preaches about Himself, doesn't He? Who does Paul preach about? Paul preaches about Jesus. We just read that. That he glorifies Christ in his preaching. Timothy was charged to preach Christ and to serve the Lord in his church and the church of Christ. Well, who does Jesus preach about? Jesus preaches about Himself. Paul says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul says, I'm not going to preach about myself. I preach about Jesus and lift Jesus up. But Jesus says, He talks about Himself. Any other person in the world that would do that, you would think, what an egotistical person that is, always talking about Himself. But have you ever read through the Gospels and thought that about Jesus? Well, of course not. And the reason is because everything He says about Himself is true. That He is our Savior. He is the Lord God. So, Paul preaches about Jesus. We are commanded to preach about Jesus. And Jesus preaches about Jesus. You know, we just studied a few of them not too long ago. Go through the book of John. You've got all those I am statements. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Could you imagine me coming in here and telling you to follow me because I'm the truth? That I am the life? You need to listen to me because I am truth. Everything about me is truth. Everything about me is light. Follow me. Well, you'd snicker and probably and rightfully never come back. And warn people not to go out there and listen to that man. He's crazy. But Jesus speaks these words and He speaks the truth. Because He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He spoke of Himself. He came that the Father would be glorified. But He is glorified through the work of the Son. Jesus declared that He was the only way to heaven. He was the only way to the Father. He was the only hope of the Jews. He's the only hope of the Gentiles. He is the sole and only hope of the world to have the forgiveness of sins. He is the light of the world. He is the water of life. He is the bread from heaven. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the door of the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He is the serpent in the wilderness that was lifted up to look to Him to be saved. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He came and said, look to me, follow me. And He preached Himself. That's what Jesus was a great preacher because he preached the truth about Himself. Jesus said, I am the truth. And He preached the truth. Jesus was a great preacher because He never said anything false. Jesus said, I am the truth. He never spoke a lie. He never misapplied the Scripture. He preached the true meaning of what the Word of God was. You have said, or you have heard that's been said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say unto you, swear not at all. You have heard of old time that the Word of God means this. But I say unto you, this is the true meaning of this passage of Scripture. This is what it really means. This is the true application. This is the true meaning. He never misapplied Scripture. He never lied on the truth. He never hid the truth in a sense to deceive people. He did hide the truth from people who it wasn't fit for them to hear. He did do that, but it was in perfection. Everything that Jesus did and everything He said was perfect. Jesus preached repentance. He preached grace to the hard-hearted and to the guilty. He preached the law to the penitent and the broken-hearted. He preached grace. Jesus is the perfect preacher. And when he preached, they were astonished. We read that in our text, that he heard those things and they were astonished at his preaching and at his doctrine. They were blown away. Again, not by the style, but at the truth of what he said. The same thing they said about the apostles. It's in Acts 13:12, but it says, "The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." He heard the preaching, and he was not astonished at the men. He was not astonished at their abilities. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Whenever he heard the truth about God, about Jesus, about sin, about the law, about grace, he was astonished. Can you remember the first time that you heard about grace, or the first time that God showed you something so clear in the Scriptures about the grace of God and salvation that you just couldn't believe your eyes? That you were astonished at the glories of Christ and the grace of God and the holiness of the Lord, or His sovereignty or election or whatever it is that you saw. You were just blown away by that doctrine. So when Jesus preached, He preached in the truth, and that truth that He spoke was astonishing. And we don't realize how much the world shapes what we think. And what we think is good and right is, in reality, is wicked and has been shaped by this world. But when Jesus spoke, it astonished them because it opened their eyes to what they were thinking. The way they were thinking was wrong. It astonished them because He preached contrary to human nature. You know, the doctrines of grace are astonishing to human nature, because naturally we don't like those things. It's contrary to what we think and feel. The true meaning of the law is astonishing. We prefer a legalistic view. If we'll be honest with ourselves, we prefer laws that we could accomplish and do. That way we can be rewarded for them. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't like laws that we break, but laws that we keep, those aren't so bad. Because then we can lift ourselves up and say, well, I've never committed that sin. That's what you find in the Gospels. People were proud over the fact that they thought they were keeping the law. Well, Jesus astonished them, saying, yeah, you're saying that you've never murdered anybody, but you've murdered people when you hated them. Because murder is just the outward expression of the hatred in your heart. That astonished people. They were amazed at the true meaning of the law. They were amazed at what Jesus says about loving your enemies and the blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek and the persecuted, the adultery of the heart, murder in the heart. All these things astonished them. The truth that Jesus spoke was astonishing to them because of who He was. But you know, they were astonished, but not necessarily in a good way. Jesus preached another powerful message in the book of John, and they were astonished at the preaching too in chapter 6. He left them with their mouths wide open too, but this time it had a little different effect. In verse number 60, it says, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can hear it?' And when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, 'Does this offend you? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before, is this the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words which I speak unto you, they are a spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.' So Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father.' From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." So Jesus preaches a hard saying and said, "Lord, that's pretty rough, this doctrine that you're teaching." And He says, "Oh, does this offend you? Well, that's why I told you that some of you aren't truly believers. And no man can come to me unless he is given of the Father. And then he preaches sovereign grace to them. And then when they heard that, they just, well, I've never heard anything like that before. I'm not going back to listen to him anymore, saying that no man can come unto him unless the Father give it to him. Well, I've never heard anything like that in my life. I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's what they did. And they quit walking with him. Jesus preached with clarity. Think about how tempting that would be if you had a whole big crowd of people. There was a multitude there, if you read that whole chapter. There's a multitude there. And then they get upset. Now think about how tempting that would be. And say, now listen, don't get upset. You know, I don't want you to get mad at me. I can understand how you might have taken that, and we can talk this out. Well, think about that. Think how tempting that would be if, you know, there's standing room only in here. And then I say something about the doctrine of election. And then half the people get up and they get upset and say, well, we're not going to come back if you're going to keep preaching that doctrine. We're not going to come back. Think in the fear of man, how tempting it would be to say, well, just calm down. You know, you don't have to go anywhere. But no, Jesus was bold with the truth, and that truth astonished them. They just couldn't believe it. But it astonished them the wrong way in the sense that they left and they didn't come back anymore. Think of how he spoke with such clarity and such power. Jesus didn't have any notes there or anything like that. He was out on the open air on the hillside. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because he was out on the hillside. And with all the people there, many of them didn't believe him, what he was saying. Many of them didn't agree with him. And he's preaching this from his mind, his heart, knowing that people are going to get upset, knowing that people aren't going to listen to him. It's a lot easier to preach to people that agree with you than people that disagree with you. You know, I've preached at many churches for the very last time, and I know how that feels to preach to a group of people that don't agree with you. And you know they don't agree with you. And I've been 5 minutes into a message, and I thought, well, I'm never going to get invited back to this place ever again. Just because it's difficult to preach when you know that they don't agree with what the Word of God says. Well, Jesus, with unwavering courage and clarity, astonished his hearers with these truths, and he didn't back down. He preached with wisdom. He preached with that wisdom where he knew what the Word of God says, how to apply it, what it meant from his mind, from his heart. You can see the astonishing depth of his sermon. Now, we spent several weeks, I think 35 weeks maybe or so, looking at the book of Matthew, and or maybe just the Sermon on the Mount. I think 30-some, maybe 30-some, and just the Sermon on the Mount. And yet, you could go back through it again and go through every verse a second time and not repeat yourself and go in through different passages of Scripture here. It's astonishing how much depth there was in wisdom in this Scripture. In Luke 4, in verse 32, it says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Jesus preached with power. And then right after that, it tells the story of a man with an unclean spirit, and he tells the unclean spirit to leave. And they were astonished by that, because they said, what a word is this? For with authority and with power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And his fame went into every place about the country. So Jesus preached with power, and he spoke with power, and when he healed, he spoke with power. God's word is powerful. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke not just truth, but he spoke it with great supernatural, divine power that it impacted people. It either crushed people under it, or it broke their hearts. It broke their stony hearts. But when Jesus spoke, he spoke with great power, filled and empowered by the Spirit of God and through his own divinity. He spoke with authority. You know, people said, well, they looked at him and said, well, here's just an unlearned man that's from the house of Joseph and Mary, carpenter's son. But he spoke with authority and with power, and with liberty and with strength and with kingly authority. Jesus knew that everything that he said was 100% unadulterated truth. Now, I like to listen to people talk who know what they're talking about and who enjoy what they're talking about. So, you know, if somebody's got a hobby, I like to ask people about their hobbies because they like to talk about their hobbies. They like to talk about what they enjoy and what they know about. And they speak with some authority and with some passion about it. That's how Jesus preached. He preached what he knew. He preached what was truth, and he knew it was the truth. He knew it was 100% unadulterated truth. He spoke the Father's words. There was no fear in him, no need to sidestep the truth. And he preached with power and with boldness. He preached, and they said, well, he doesn't preach like the scribes do. You know, the scribes would quote each other. And they'd say, well, Dr. So-and-so says this about this passage of Scripture. Yes, yes, but what about Dr. So-and-so who said the opposite about that? And they would quote each other and reference each other and go like that. And they would, that's how they preached. Well, not Jesus. Robertson says, we have some specimens left over from the discourses of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jewish Talmud. He said, when they were completed, it was the driest, dullest collection of disjointed comments upon every conceivable problem in the history of mankind. So the scribes quoted the rabbis before them and were afraid to express an idea without boistering it up by some other predecessor. So they didn't want to step the bounds and say something wrong, so everything they said was referenced back to one of their own. The scribes based their words and thoughts on the ideas of men, because they didn't want to offend men. Jesus didn't care who he offended. You know, they said that to him. They said, we know that you, thou art of true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God. That's what his enemies said about him. We know you don't care what men have to say, and you don't care about what men say before, that you preach the truth. You preach what God says. And that's why he was the greatest preacher. He never compromised. He never wavered. He never misspoke. He never gave the wrong illustration. He never unnecessarily offended. He never preached something without power and strength and liberty. That's why he was the greatest. And we can have boldness in the Word of God. We can follow his example. We can have boldness and confidence in the Word of God because what the Word of God says is true. Now, Jesus spoke with authority and with boldness because he was God the Son. But whenever we have God's Word and we rightly divide it and we know this is what it says because we studied it and we know the context and what God's intended, then we can speak with boldness. And we can say, this is what God says. I need not be ashamed. I need not fear what a man might say about it. I need not back down or mince words. This is what God says. And you have confidence and boldness in following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the example. Preach Christ. Tell other people about Jesus. Be confident in the truth of God's Word. Follow God's Word. Listen to the Word of God. And be blessed. The Sermon on the Mount was astonishing to people because it was spoken by Christ. It was spoken with boldness and authority, and it was spoken in truth. And I hope that you've been blessed by the study in the Sermon on the Mount, and I hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word and blessed you in it. And we'll stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer this evening. And I ask Elijah if you would dismiss in prayer.